So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's good morning, and how are you today? Today we have just had that Old Testament reading, and in it are some really interesting things that happen to people who ask God, who listen to others, and there's different things about their hearts. And it's a really interesting and normal conversation within families. And it's amazing what happens in good soil and in bad soil. And that's what our message is about today. But first, I love that film. We often see it at Christmas. It's called A Wonderful Life. And it's about a man who helped many people in the 1940s and 50s, but didn't follow his dream. And they're in the office talking, and somebody says, "This coffee tastes like dirt." "Well," somebody else says, "that's because it was ground this morning." Okay, so today we're thinking about ground, and the Master Jesus talks about four types of ground, using a teaching method from 700 years ago, before his time, in Isaiah. He addresses the crowd who are sitting on the seashore. Maybe you would like to be there right now. As I was preparing this sermon, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, it would be so lovely, but it's such a long way to the sea, isn't it, from here? Lovely to be on that seashore with the sea breeze, where Jesus sits in a boat and the crowds stand up on the seashore as they listen to the sermon. And as we listen as well, let us all make sure that we too understand this about listening, hearing, about our eyes being open, because we will never get to grips with Christianity from a safe distance of a detached curiosity. We have to engage in it. Now, Jesus had been in chapter 12. He had been in Capernaum, and he had been addressing. He had been addressing the unbelief and those who had been the religious elite. He's been talking to those Pharisees and everyone who didn't believe him, who wouldn't be healed. And so this message was quite hard for them, and it's not an easy passage for us too. It's quite challenging, because you see, we too, like the Pharisees, are sometimes quite self-righteous and have stubborn hearts. But as he walked from where he was living, where he was speaking, which might have been Peter's house, you can go there today, in Capernaum, and as he walked down to the seashore, he might have gone round through farmland, because that's what happened. Around villages, you would have farmland, which was being divided up by the leaders of the community, and you would have a plot of land, and you would walk down these thin lines of paths towards the Sea of Galilee. And then in spring, you would sow the seed. You would sow seed in spring because the ground would be moist. And you would not, as we do here, take the rocks out of the ground, because it's a special type of farming, which is a dry farming. It's dry for the rest of the time of the year. So to take away the rocks, you would wash away the soil. So you want the soil for the seeds to drop into. And this would be a very familiar thing for everyone. It's not very familiar for us. So you throw out the seeds and then you plow, or you drop them from a donkey or some other animal and in a straight line. Jesus uses a parable, which means two different things. So it means this: two different things which are thrown together beside each other. So para is beside, and two things for the purposes of teaching, to show a comparison to understanding. And this is what Jesus does. And we have the first of seven parables here. And there's a distinction between the first parable, because it has an interpretation, because people asked. You know what? We can ask God for for understanding. All we need to do is ask and say, God, I don't understand this. Please show me. And that's exactly what the disciples did. So, starting from verse 4, here we are. We've got some interesting pictures. I hope you're enjoying those. The first picture is from verse 4, a little bit of teaching now. Verse 4, and then the interpretation in verse 18 and 19. The seed fell on compacted earth where the birds ate it up. I know that here, and in my garden, I tried to grow some things some weeks ago, because the grass needed a little bit, and I had a bare patch of ground, this is what happened to the seed. They just bounced up. They won't spring up here, will they? And outside, they won't. Just round the corner, you can go there, and nothing will grow. It's a different season. I think we must understand this. It's a different season, and in different seasons, soil is different. You see, there's the sower, there's the seed, and there's the soil. Which has the weakest link? It's the soil, isn't it? Of course it is. You see, words here fall on deaf ears, a hard heart. There are many voices that say, well, I can't believe that. I won't believe that. No, it's not true. God really say that? I don't know if that says it in the Bible. There are a lot of voices in our culture that stop us hearing. And that is very true. And it's very distracting for us. But we've got to make sure that we all hear God's voice. The second one. We are in that. Oh, yes, here we are. We're still there. So the same amount of seed fell on rocky places where the seed went into the ground, but because it couldn't grow its roots, it didn't become a plant like us. If we just have an emotional response to Jesus, we never really become a follower of Christ. This is what happened to my twin sister. She had an emotional response, but never really became a true, never really understood the message. Or a lack of a real experience of God. You see, our troubles sometimes as well. We have troubles and trials, pain, and difficult disappointments. They are real. They are valid. They are normal. They are just overwhelming at many times. If I'm honest, today is the anniversary of my niece's death. I'm challenged. Suffering is a long road of many woes, but we need to give our woes and our questions to God. We've got to summon in us when we got that time to give them, and keep for God to keep those things to cry out for mercy and seek his supernatural power to endure. That's the only way we can to do it. And I find, and that's the way we need to find good soil. And our next interesting verse, we've got some more soil coming up. The seed that fell upon thorns. They grow really fast, don't they? Thorns are amazing. In my garden, I think those briars, they grow about 5 or 6 meters a year. Incredible. And they're great big thick stems, great big thick stems with great big thorns. They're like the pleasures of this life, Jesus says. And I had a wonderful quote from Robert Burns, the poet, the Scottish poet. And he said, "But pleasures are like poppies spread. You seize the flower, its bloom is shed. Or like the snow that falls in the river. Falls in that river. A moment white and then melts forever." Or in the deceptiveness of riches. Some of us, if we don't have very much money, we want riches. And those who are rich want to keep their riches, of course. But they promise so much, don't they? Riches promise so much. They promise peace and prosperity and security and wholeness and happiness. But they're promises that can't deliver. They're promises that can't satisfy. There are promises that they want us to, want us to become the person that we want to be, not the person that Jesus wants us to be. And then finally, the second, they're not finally in this part of land, a part of the soil, the seed that fell on good soil. And amazingly, Jesus says the seed that fell on good soil produced a harvest 100, 60, and 30 times as much, which is incredible. You see, we're not farmers, are we? But I read that a farmer sowing this certain amount of seeds, they reckon an okay harvest is, say, 5 times as much. You need at least 2 times to get your crop back to sow next year, of course, or 3 times. 7 times is a really good harvest, and 10 times is an abnormally wonderful, a brilliant harvest. A once in 100 years harvest. But Jesus isn't saying that. He's saying this crop is just overwhelmingly amazing. Extraordinary. But what happens? Why is that the case in our hearts? So Jesus is putting the soil and our hearts together. And he's saying that we need to be like that good soil. But how can that happen in our lives? And is that this is a kingdom parable? It's not like a worldly parable that you put in some money and you get out a certain amount more. It's an amazing amount more. What happens in our hearts when we hear the word as a gift and we accept it and we welcome it? And we say amen to it, then we need to do something about it. We don't want to have just a theory about things. Don't want to have a theory about it. Like when I was a teacher, one of the first things I did was to teach people about driving. Now, I've never driven in my life. I'm not allowed to. Never have been. And because of my eyes. But it was my job to teach people about driving skills. Did I have any experience? Obviously not. But I was doing that job. And we're trying to do things without experience. We need to have real experience. God wants to give you and me a real experience of himself. The seed needs to go into the ground, into our hearts, and react. We need to be able to recall that, to think, how can I change. It will be tested. However, the change could change the world. It's a change like an apple. You think about it, you eat an apple, and there are a couple of pips, aren't there? But those pips could become a tree with hundreds and thousands of apples over the years. And those pips could become other trees to make an orchard, and then have an orchard across the whole of the UK and the whole of the world. That's the kingdom. It can happen, can't it? That's why those garden centres are there, because they can multiply all these seeds really well. And that's what happens. It's a kingdom thing. I want to talk to you about this lady called Corrie ten Boom. This week I happened to listen to her story again, and this lady had very good soil in her heart, but she had a tough, difficult upbringing. She had to say good. She had a love of her life, but that person one day turned up to say hello. Oh, by the way, this is my fiance, and she, instead of turning in and say, "Oh no, I never love again," or "I hate you," she said, "No, I'm gonna be all for God." That's what she said. But she had to look after other children, send kids like we have, special educational needs. Her aunties, she had to look after them. She had to look after her mum, who was really ill when she was in her 20s and then died. So Corrie was a Dutch Christian watchmaker. She was the first official watchmaker in Holland, who, alongside her family, sheltered hundreds and rescued up to more than hundreds of Jews in the Second World War to protect them from the Nazis in World War II. And then she was betrayed. She rescued babies. In fact, one day somebody, because they had friends, and in that part of the world they had friends in authority, and even some of the German soldiers said that we don't agree with this, and they gave a tip off to them that tomorrow, by the way, all the orphanage, the kids in the orphanages, are going to be killed. So they tipped people off, and all those orphans, and there were 100 Jewish babies, were rescued. It's a true story in Amsterdam. That happened in Amsterdam. But he was betrayed to a man called Jan Vogel. And she said to her family, she was sent with all her family, who were, all of them eventually died at that time, rescuing people or in the prisons. She and her sister went to Ravensbrück concentration camp, where she, where her sister sadly perished. But her sister would always say, she would always say, "No hate, forgive, be kind." And so her heart was forced to be good soil, to not to hate those people, not to get them back in vengeance. And miraculously, just after sister passed away in 1944, she was released. And just literally a couple of weeks later, all those prisoners in that camp were murdered. Ten Boom spent the rest of her life traveling the globe, 60 countries. Somebody wanted to make a film of her life. It's called The Hiding Place. You can watch it for free online. It's a very good watch. She shared an extraordinary story of survival, forgiveness, and unconditional love. Here are some of her quotes. Here's a good quote. "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." Another one says, "Do not be afraid." Another one says this: "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We know about Christ. We can trust him with that. If you look to the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look to Christ, you will be at rest. It's a thinking. It's what we can do with our soil. But a most famous one, which I love, quote, is, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." But in all this, it's good soil. She sowed so much and made a big difference. Even in Germany, she got the money together and encouraged other people to use to make those one of the concentration camps into a place for people to live again, because their area where they lived was decimated, and she did that for them because she had a forgiving heart and a passion for them too. However, there is a warning. There's a warning here. So we listen. And here we are. So we listen, but there's a warning. And from this is a very quoted verse. It's from Moses said it, and it's repeated. And I'm going to quote Psalm 95. It's repeated also in the New Testament in Hebrews, and it says this. It says from Psalm 95, verse 7, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did in Meribah, as you did that day in Massah, in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I had done." We have seen what God has done in our community and other people's lives. There's a warning here. A friend of mine I used to teach with had a every year at this time of year we would have a meeting, and then I said, "Oh, should we just go out and have a chat afterwards, and before we have a holiday?" We'd go on a holiday for the 6 weeks, and so Andrew and I would just go for, and we would have a quiet pint somewhere, and we had a chat, and we were very convivial and everything. And he said to me, I was talking about spiritual things, and I said, "You know, God wants us to know him." And then he would say something like, "Well, I like those things, you know, about, you know, those stones and about that sacrifice and about people doing things and having power." And I thought, well, that's a bit dark, but, you know, it's a lot of people think this way. Anyway, I was shocked. I was really shocked to find out that 2 years ago, he was sentenced to 25 years for child abuse. This is a fact. This is true. He's warning. There was a warning there. He didn't take it. It's a sobering thing, isn't it? Although the soils are like a reflection, aren't they, of our hearts. They're a mirror of the four different soils, are a mirror for us. But we should not be worried, because it's a dynamic thing. It's not a static thing. And, well, these days, you might look in the mirror. I look in the mirror and I, you know, staring back at me, this is fat old man. I'm thinking, oh gosh, I don't want to look in the mirror. Anyway, but we see things in the mirror about ourselves, don't we? But here, these soils help us to mirror who we are. But those soils can change, like the disciples. The disciples changed, didn't they? They were saying, oh, we'll do anything for you, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane. We'll do, you know, in the upper room. We'll do anything for you, Jesus. We'll die for you. And yet, just a few hours later, the soil had gone. It was like that rocky soil. It was exuberant, and then no, nothing. But just a few weeks later, Pentecost, they had totally changed. Their hearts had changed. There is hope. There is hope for us to change. The power is in the giver of the seed, the word of God, the word of Christ. Jesus, on his road to the cross, said in John chapter 12, verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies alone, it does nothing. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit." Jesus became the sower, became the seed. He died in the ground alone and rose again to life again to reap a crop of billions of souls around this world today in Latin America, North America, Africa, Asia, in Europe. Be encouraged to listen to... there we are. There's another one. There's the four different ones. Be encouraged to be brave, to be reflective, to know that Jesus has in store for you so much more than you can ever know, even if our lives are in a difficult, barren season. And that's true, isn't it? Some of us are like that right now. But even in these dry, difficult seasons, there are moments. There are moments of joy. There's moments when we can make a decision that can just nudge us in one direction. We don't see it. And then that's going to take us somewhere where Jesus can use us for his glory. But be warned. There is a warning. There's a consequence. If we do not listen and follow, there's a consequence. There is a consequence to all of that. So the soil of your hearts, it needs to be refreshed to have the nutrients and the water of God's word and in the soil of our hearts, in prayer, in reading about the soil, the sower, in praise and thanksgiving. Then action in our heart, in our lives, in love by faith, the hard ground can become fertile again, and we can reap a kingdom harvest 100, 60, 30 times. In his name, amen.